Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article that we've been looking at from AARP, the magazine. This article is about Sheila Gutman, 65, and she is one of the survivors of a gun attack. She's a retired attorney, Highland Park, Illinois. Date of shooting, July 4th, 2022. And this is the last in this series. At their town's annual Independence Day parade, Gutman, her husband, their three sons, and their families were celebrating the day and admiring the patriotic floats. Then, a gunman on the rooftop across the street fired into the crowd, killing 7 people and injuring 48. Gutman's left foot was pulverized by a bullet. The shooter fled the scene and was later apprehended by the police. Just over a year after the shooting, Sheila Gutman celebrated her birthday by buying gifts for her 4 adult children and their partners, sneakers. I said to all of them, "I want you all to put on new shoes as we walk forward into a new place and put the shooting behind us," she says. Gutman herself couldn't wear the shoes. Her foot is still too disfigured, but she wanted her family to know that she was doing okay. The bullet that shredded her Achilles tendon shattered her heel bone and destroyed most of the tissue in the back of her left foot and part of her calf. Early on, amputation looked likely, especially once her foot began turning black after the first reconstructive surgery. The kind of operation that could potentially save her foot required perfect compliance with a complex and lengthy aftercare regimen, which many gunshot survivors are not in a position to complete. If the regimen is not followed, the surgery could cause life-threatening complications. Because of Gutman's resolve and her strong support network, though, doctors decided to give the risky surgery a try. Using a cadaver bone and a flap of skin, fat, muscle, and blood vessels from Gutman's good leg, they again rebuilt the back of her left foot. She then spent 3 weeks flat on her back, leg in the air, with pins protruding from the bone and attached to the external fixator, engaging her foot to make sure nothing moved even a little bit. Another 8 surgeries followed, plus 22 treatments in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber to encourage the flap to heal, collagen treatments, and physical therapy. Today, Gutman can walk, albeit with a slight limp that pulls her hip forward and causes back pain. She could probably even run if she really wanted to, she says. That's why Gutman recently started going to the movies again. She knows she could get away if someone started shooting. What she dwells on the most, though, isn't her own injury or trauma. It's that the world seems to have moved on. Gutman admits she used to do that, too, when she had read about mass shootings in the past. "I might have sent a check, but never thought about what happens after," she says. Now she understands that as a survivor, you don't want to be forgotten. She's talking not so much about herself as though about people like Cooper Roberts, who was paralyzed from the waist down at the parade when a bullet severed his spinal cord. Cooper was 8 years old at the time. His mother was also shot, and his twin brother was hit by shrapnel. The family's expenses are astronomical, and insurance covers only a small portion. Along with buying new wheelchairs for Cooper as he grows, the family must pay for other equipment. They must also move from their 2-story home because Cooper will soon be too big to carry up and down stairs. And the cost to retrofit their house to meet his needs would be nearly $1 million. Gutman didn't know the Robertses before the shooting, but a friendship began when she learned how the family was struggling and threw herself into fundraising for them. Working with the community, family, and friends, she has raised several $100,000 for the Robertses and is still at it. Funds can be donated to the family via the Help Hope Live Foundation. "This work in turn has helped Gutman heal," she says. "I feel like maybe this is why this happened to me. It's my job to help them get through this hard time in their life. Next, we're going to the article in Psychology Now that we've been working on, and this is the last part in this particular section. So we're talking about dissociative disorders, and that they often come about due to a specific trauma. The part we're looking at now is entitled Treatment and Self-Care. Once a dissociative disorder has been recognized or diagnosed, there are treatments available. For many people, this will be in the form of talking therapy, such as counseling or psychotherapy. This gives you the safe space to talk through and explore how you are feeling and to face the causes of stress that you are dealing with in your body. This might be specific trauma counseling, which can be very difficult, but sometimes by facing the trauma in a safe environment and being given the chance to confront it can help to relieve the symptoms of dissociation. For those who do find themselves experiencing depersonalization or derealization linked to mental health conditions such as anxiety, depression, or panic attacks, learning techniques to help cope with periods of disconnection can make dissociative episodes easier to manage. We have covered some ideas for grounding techniques in the box out, which are things you can do in the moment to help if you feel disconnected or disengaged from either the world around you or from yourself. Many people find that the right counseling is enough to help them recover from a dissociative disorder, especially if the underlying cause or trigger is addressed and coping mechanisms and techniques are learned. There are some medications that are used, however. There is nothing specifically for dissociative disorders. Rather, there are medications that can help to treat triggers, causes, and other symptoms that might then help with the dissociation. For example, being unable to sleep, insomnia, can make dissociation harder to cope with, so medication might be prescribed to help. Antidepressants can also be used to manage depression or anxiety when present alongside dissociation. There are also some self-help techniques that can be useful. Some people find that keeping a journal is helpful, writing down your thoughts and feelings so you can become more aware of them. For people with DID, this can help you connect different identities, and for those who experience periods of amnesia, a diary can help fill in any memory gaps. Other tips include writing notes for yourself with useful information, such as the time and date, emergency contact numbers, and reminders so that if your dissociation causes memory blanks or conflicting identities, you have a practical reference. It also is important to look after yourself in other ways when dealing with dissociative disorders. The fundamentals of a healthy, balanced lifestyle can help you to cope better with this disorder, such as eating a balanced diet, getting enough sleep, and doing some exercise. These things can help to manage your mental health and well-being, which in turn help you with dissociative disorders. If you are worried about yourself, a friend, or loved one suffering from a dissociative disorder, then please refer to the useful resources, tips, and links listed at the box outs throughout this feature. So let's look at one sidebar article here. Support someone with a dissociative disorder. It can be really hard if someone you care for is experiencing a dissociative disorder. There are some practical things that you can do to support them, such as help them to get the treatment or therapy they need. That might be booking a doctor's appointment to discuss options, finding a good therapist, or helping them make a crisis plan for periods of dissociation. They may need someone they trust to act as an advocate for them, especially as dissociative disorders can be hard to diagnose. You can also aid them to stay safe during an episode by understanding their triggers and helping them to avoid or navigate them. They may also need to talk about what they are going through, and you can listen, even if you can't do anything. Dissociative disorders can be hard on friends and family, especially if someone you care for is exhibiting different identities or has long periods of dissociative amnesia. Make sure that you look after your own well-being. as you will find it hard to support them if you are burnt out. Get adequate rest and sleep. Engage with support groups to talk with others who are going through a similar experience, and ask for extra help if you need to. Then we have a list of essential resources and links. In the U.S., we have the National Association on Mental Health, www.nami.org. The helpline is 800-950-6264. Then 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. That's at 988lifeline.org. Or you can call 988 24/7. There's a crisis text line, www.crisistextline.org. That's T-E-X-T line. Text home, 741-741, 24/7. And finally, the Sidran Institute for Traumatic Stress Education and Advocacy. And that website is sidran.org. So starting next week, we will look at ways to make life more fun. Now, going back to AARP, the magazine, I have a bunch of short things today. Let's look at Upfront Go, 100 Years of the Appalachian Trail, some fascinating footnotes about this popular passage. March 1925 is considered the official birth of the Appalachian Trail with the founding of what is now called the Appalachian Trail Conservancy, ATC. Here's a look at a century of natural bliss. Through hiking took some time. The first hiker to complete an end-to-end hike of about 2,200 miles was Earl Schaefer in 1948. It took him 124 days. Peace pilgrim Mildred Norman Ryder became the first woman to pull off the feat in 1952. Emma Gatewood, a 67-year-old grandmother, became the first woman to solo hike it in 1955. The trail is federally protected. The AT crosses land managed by a range of public agencies, but the full length was declared a National Scenic Trail by the National Trails System Act of 1968. Toenails can be a hindrance. Ultra runner Tara Dower set the speed record for the trail in 2024, knocking the whole thing off in 40 days, 8 hours, and 6 minutes, averaging about 54 miles per day. She beat the previous record set in 2018 by 13 hours. Since she anticipated damage to her toenails from all that pounding the dirt, she had 4 of them surgically removed before her trek. Virginia is for AT lovers. The trail crosses 14 states in its passage across the country, but it spends the most time in the Old Dominion with 557 miles there. The AT barely touches West Virginia with just 2.4 miles of trail solely in the state, and yet the ATC is headquartered at Harpers Ferry, West Virginia. You can treat yourself at the halfway point. Pine Grove Furnace State Park in Pennsylvania marks the midpoint. It's tradition for through hikers to try to eat half a gallon of ice cream at the general store near the Appalachian Trail Museum, but you don't have to hike the trail to enjoy the ice cream. Bill Bryson didn't hike the whole thing. The AT may be best known in popular culture via Bryson's humorous 1998 book, A Walk in the Woods, later made into a film with Robert Redford and Nick Nolte. But Bryson and his cantankerous companion, Stephen Katz, could muster only about 870 miles. Still not bad, about the distance from New York to Chicago. History abounds. Indigenous people have used footpaths along the now Appalachian Trail for countless generations, and sections of the trail in Maryland were part of the Underground Railroad. The oldest person to complete the trail was 83, M.J. Eberhardt, known as Nimble Will Nomad. set the age record in 2021. The youngest to complete the trail was 4-year-old Juniper Netberg with her family in 2020. And this article was by Doug Schnitzenbaum. Now, in the upfront live section, flush with features. Technology inevitable comes to toilet. Fresh off a 14-hour flight from New York, I arrived in Tokyo in a jet-lagged brain fog. I found a surprise in my hotel room that night, a toilet that illuminated itself and had a warm seat. But then came the hard part, flushing. The toilet was outfitted with buttons next to the seat, offering myriad functions. Luckily, there were pictographs like tiny cartoons. I discovered the warm water bidet spray. Upon returning to the U.S., I found myself missing this high-tech throne. Many Americans agree. A 2024 National Kitchen and Bath Association trend report says U.S. buyers are interested in toilets that self-clean after every flush, warm the seat, and open and close the lid automatically. Part of this can be attributed to the aging of America. Andrew Van Gordon, a Kohler's senior product manager, says such functions can be beneficial in a household with someone dealing with mobility issues. But how much are technological advancements in toileting worth? A seat with bidet functions can go for about $285 to $350. Full-on smart toilets start at about $1,100, but can exceed $8,000. All this advanced technology is moving beyond pampering. A company called Kasana expects to bring a toilet seat to market next year that will monitor your blood pressure. Full disclosure, Kasana is a participant in the Age Tech Collaborative from AARP. I wasn't thinking about anything that tech-forward when my gas furnace recently went out and nature called at 2 a.m. Groggy and shivering, I decided life's too short not to have a warm bum. And that was by Michael Frank. Then we have what not to buy at a yard sale. As we head into spring, cleaning and yard sale season, here are some secondhand items you should avoid. Stuffed animals. Plush toys can harbor bugs and allergens. If you're with your granddaughter at a yard sale, I would go with a game or puzzle instead, says Mona Scavo, owner of Tag Sales by Mona. Baby items. Car seats have an actual expiration date. Older cribs and high chairs can be unsafe. Heather Aiello, founder of the Organized U, a home organization company, says not to buy them used. Helmets. Bike helmets are only meant to last so long, she says. They can lose their effectiveness. Plus, it can be difficult to wash the foam inside to remove potential allergens or bugs. Cosmetics and perfumes. If the seller dipped a finger into the product, bacteria and fungi may have been introduced. Sealed or not, some may be past their shelf life, already used, diluted, or tampered with, the Food and Drug Administration warns. Next article, in a divorce, who gets the dog? When Tara and Mark Osterling divorced, they faced a question common among older couples. Can we share custody of the dog? The answer is yes. The upstate New Yorkers worked with a mediator to draw up an agreement, spelling out expectations for their mixed breed. Neither will withhold access to Willie without due cause. They will collaborate to provide primary care in the event of his illness or injury. If one travels, the other will take over Willie's care and will not pass on that care to an unapproved third party. Dana Marie Panella, an associate attorney in Sharon Center, Ohio, says some couples don't wait until divorce. They draw up custody arrangements when they get the pet. She calls such an agreement a pup-nup. Now let's look at sleepy time tunes. Need better slumber? Try some ambient music. As an insomniac, I've tried many methods to fall back to sleep after 3 a.m. wake-ups. I have found that the best sedative is music, specifically ambient music. Ambient music is a genre of original music with slow tempos, gentle, sustained tones, ample reverb, and scant percussion and bass, says Victor Szkabo, author of Turn On, Tune In, Drift Off, Ambient Music's Psychedelic Past. Musician Brian Eno coined ambient music and began to popularize it in his 1978 album, Ambient One, Music for Airports. Other names to look for: John Hassell, Elaine Radiga, Ryuichi Sakamoto, and Stars of the Lid. Studies have validated ambient music's ability to improve sleep quality, says Jesse Koski, an assistant clinical professor at the UNC Davis Medical Center. It works via a process called entrainment, a phenomenon whereby your body's natural rhythms, like heart rate and breathing, sync up with the tempo of a musical piece. Koski says that listening to music with 60 to 80 beats per minute can lower your heart rate. For those who grew up in rock, ambient music can feel boring, but that's the point. Eno was a nervous flyer and used it as part of sonic volume. It's useful when you want to be sedated. Next, we have suppressing bad memories. This is under Upfront Tech. You can hide Facebook notifications on any device with a few simple steps. Facebook believes it's doing you a favor by reminding you about posts you've made in the past, called memories. These resurfaced items are visible only to you unless you decide to share them. Hey, look at this cute thing my kid did 10 years ago. But for some older users, memories can be painful. Who wants to see that picture of an ex-spouse, for example? You have a couple of options to minimize the distress. Filter out certain people. On your computer, go to facebook.com/memories and click on Hide People. Type the name of the person you don't want to see and click Save. Filter out certain time periods. Go to facebook.com/memories and click on Hide Dates. Click on Add New Date Range. Enter the period of memories you don't want to see and save. Turn off memories altogether. Go to facebook.com/memories and click on Notifications. Choose None from the options. Now, let's look at Read or Listen for free. It's the time of year to cozy up with a good book and warm fire, whether you're a voracious reader or just like to read the occasional yarn. You can save money with free e-books and audiobooks online, and here's where to find them. Minibooks. This website includes more than 50,000 public domain titles and self-published works. More recent titles are available for as little as 99 cents. Go to minibooks.net. Amazon. You can access free ebooks here in the format for Amazon's Kindle e-reader and apps. Go to amazon.com and search for free ebooks. Library apps. Many libraries offer free ebooks and audiobook apps to card carriers. You can check out even current bestsellers for free. Services include Libby and Hoopla, H-O-O-P-L-A. Then there's LibriVox, L-I-B-R-I-V-O-X. More than 40,000 audiobooks of works in the public domain are available for free listing. Go to LIBRIVOX.org, LibriVox.org. And then there's TuneIn. This app is known for streaming radio stations and podcasts, but it also offers a selection of free audiobooks, albeit with ads built in. You can go to TuneIn.com for that service. Now we have Ask the Tech Guru. Can I unsend a text or email after having second thoughts? AARP tech writer Edward C. Begg answers, in some cases, yes, but you must ask quickly. Google Gmail. Set up the recall feature in advance, a one-time fix. Go to Gmail on your computer and click on Settings. Click See All Settings. Next to Undo Send, select a cancellation period of up to 30 seconds. Click Save Changes. When you send an email, you'll see an undo option for the amount of time selected. Apple Mail. After sending an email, tap Undo, Send at the bottom of the screen. By default, you'll have up to 10 seconds to recall a message, though you can change the delay to last longer in your settings. On an iPhone, tap Settings, then Apps, then Mail, then Undo Send Delay, and choose 20 or 30 seconds. And finally, iMessages. When sending Apple's version of a text message to most other Apple users, you can unsend the message within 20 seconds. On an iPhone or iPad, press down on the message bubble and then tap Undo Send. The recipient will get a note that a message was discarded but won't see its contents. Unfortunately, there is no way to unsend a standard text message. Now we're going to look at a few books. The heading of this is Older and Wiser, or Not, featuring characters of a certain age. The Tiny Slice. One of the wonderful things about getting older is that I don't need to conform. I don't need to fit in, nor do I need to prove a damn thing to anyone. This is from Food for Thought, Essays and Ruminations by Food Network star Alton Brown. Then there's Memorable Memoirs. The dancer, actress, singer Josephine Baker's 1949 memoir, Fearless and Free, now published in English, tells of her jazz age stardom and spying for the French Resistance in Legends and Souls. Sonny Vaccaro, 85, details his role in signing Michael Jordan for Nike and Waiting on the Moon, Artists, Drifters, Grifters, and Goddesses. It's by Peter Wolf, 78, who is the J. Geils Band frontman's rock and roll story. Then we have Tales from Midlife. Curtis Sittenfeld, 49, author of best-selling novels like Prep and Romantic Comedy, is back with an eclectic collection of stories. Show, Don't Tell, many featuring beautifully drawn middle-aged characters, including one that brings back Lee Fiora from Prep, now older and attending her boarding school reunion. Then there's We All Live Here by Jojo Moyes. The Me Before You author offers a heartwarming story about Lila dealing at midlife with a broken marriage, career troubles, teen drama, and more. And if that's not messy enough, she adds a sexy fling into the mix. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.